Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be proclaiming the Word of God today from the Gospel reading, just focusing in on the first few verses, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, make us holy in the truth. Your Word is truth. Amen. When you look out at the world around you, what do you see? And how do you feel as you look at all of the various problems and struggles that are going on, especially as you look at people who are struggling in one way or another? How do you see them? What do you feel about them? Our text today gives us an insight into what Jesus sees and how Jesus feels even. And this can be a tremendous comfort for us as we feel harassed and helpless. A tremendous encouragement as we join in on Jesus' mission to the world. In these few short verses, we read that as Jesus looked around at the crowds, he saw them in two ways. As sheep without a shepherd, needing compassion, and as a plentiful harvest for God, needing workers to bring that harvest in. As Jesus looked around him at the crowds of people who are harassed and helpless, notice the first way in which he sees them and the reaction that it brings in him. He doesn't see them first as evil people to be responded to with anger and needing to be punished. He doesn't see them as useless people to be given up on and forgotten about. He sees them as sheep without a shepherd, as sheep in need of a shepherd, and he responds to them with compassion. When I was a child, I was very fortunate to spend many of my school holidays at one or both of my grandparents' farms in country South Australia. I have some good memories of both of my grandparents working with sheep in various ways, as well as crops and harvests. When it comes to memories of them working with sheep, my overall impression was that sheep were quite a bit of work, and it often seemed to be the case that the sheep were either getting into trouble or causing some trouble. There always seemed to be sheep who were sick or struggling, sheep who were in the wrong paddock or who had wandered off somewhere, sheep who were caught up in a fence or had just found themselves in some form of trouble in some way. It's been well said, I think, that when Jesus refers to people as sheep, it is a loving and well-meaning spiritual insult. Jesus is realistic. He sees just how helpless we can be, how prone we are to getting lost, and how vulnerable we are to threats. But he responds to this plight with compassion, our text says. Now, this word is a very special one in the Gospels, the one translated here as to have compassion. The English dictionary says of this word, compassion, a feeling of pity which makes one want to help or show mercy. And that's true and helpful as far as it goes. But the original word here has more depth and vividness to it. It's a physical word. It has to do with being moved physically from deep down inside of you. My old Bible dictionary even says that literally it's to feel the bowels yearn. Now, compassion is a good word to use here, but it can also be helpful for us to get this more visceral and intense and deep sense of the word. It's quite literally a gut-wrenching compassion that Jesus experiences both here and a number of other places in the Gospels. You've probably experienced at some time seeing a person in severe suffering, and you don't just feel sad in some vague way, but you actually feel it in your body, deep down. But what's amazing in the Gospels is that this word isn't used for human beings. It's used mainly with Jesus. He is the truly compassionate one. He reveals that in the heart of God is this deep and intense compassion for us in our harassed and helpless states. Dear friends, no matter who you are or what you are going through right now in your life, you need to know that when Jesus looks at you in your brokenness and your lostness, he has this compassion for you. It's this compassion that ultimately led him to the cross, as St. Paul proclaimed to us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, for you. And as we, his people, look out then to this world and its suffering, as we are transformed more and more into the image of Christ by the Spirit's work in us, we learn not only to think as he thinks, to speak as he speaks, and to do as he does, but also then to feel as he feels. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion. But Jesus' compassion, although coming from deep within him, does not remain there. In the Gospels, every time Jesus is said to have compassion on people, he does something. He acts on it. And so now, in these very same crowds of suffering people, Jesus sees and feels something a bit different. Although in another sense, maybe it's just one paddock over in the imagination. Because now he sees a ripe and plentiful harvest for God. And he feels a desperate urgency in the need for more workers to help bring this harvest in. The harvest is plentiful, he says, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Jesus sees that in people's harassed and helpless states, whether it be because of physical sickness and suffering, or family, relationship, conflict and strife, or financial and material destitution, whatever the presenting symptoms are, he sees that the deeper problem is the need for God to be at peace with God. And for him to be truly compassionate then to people is not only to cure their physical sickness, to free them from those oppressive spirits, but he wants to bring them to God, into life with God. This is the harvest that he sees, but the problem is the manpower. At another time of life, I helped out for a while on a different dry land farm in New South Wales. It was a big place, a lot of land. And yet with modern technology and the tractors and things that farmers have these days, for most of the year, even on this huge property, just one father and one son could pretty much run the whole thing. That is, of course, until harvest time. Harvest time was different. At harvest time, out of pure necessity, they needed extra hands. They needed extra workers. It's just the nature of how farms work, how crops grow. You don't need as many people for most of the year, then all of a sudden it's on. And you need extra hands on deck. So much so that even a city slicker like me could get a job. Jesus sees a plentiful harvest, but a shortage of workers. He needs more workers to join him in proclaiming this good news of the kingdom and meeting the physical needs of the people. The surprise then, though, is what he calls for as the first priority in coming out of this. Not going and starting work, not finding and recruiting the laborers, but first asking the Lord of the harvest to send out these laborers. This is his first priority. It's prayer. It's something of a mystery that God has chosen to use human beings as part of his plan at all to bring in this harvest. God is God. And so if he really wanted to, surely he could bring in this spiritual harvest in some sort of supernatural way without the need for human workers. But graciously, he does invite his church to join him in his mission to the world. But it is an even greater mystery, at least to me, that God has chosen to use the prayers of the people of God also as a part of his plan to bring in this harvest. The powerful work of God's Spirit in this world is intertwined with the prayers of the people of God. What a gracious mystery that is. It has a big picture application in how we pray, especially for suitable candidates to be prepared as pastors, shepherds, in our wider church. That's why in our traditional prayer of the church, it would have the congregations pray for this every single Sunday, for labourers to be sent out into the harvest. But this can also be very simple and practical and in the everyday life of every congregation, where we don't have the right person for some particular task, some significant role within the ministry of any given local congregation. And so what do we do then? How do we respond? Well, when we've got our priorities straight, the first thing that we do is to pray. We remember, that's right, it's not our harvest. It's the Lord's harvest. And as such, we don't decide who the best workers are. The Lord does. And so we pray, Lord, please provide us with the person or the people we need. Please help us identify the right people. And on a number of occasions, I've been with others as we've prayed like this and we finish the prayer and someone says, how about John? Or what about Mary? Has anyone thought of them? Have they been asked you? Maybe that's the person. Maybe that's God's labourer for this part of the harvest. So when you look at the world around you, with all of the various problems and struggles going on, what do you see? How do you feel? Jesus sees harassed and helpless people as sheep without a shepherd in need of his compassion. He has that compassion for them and for you, and he has it to the uttermost. He sees a harvest for God just needing workers to bring it in. He calls us first to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out those labourers. May God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.